Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could.
Stay in the last bells at Long Air.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Kirsten Jones' musical journey began at the age of 3, and there's been no looking back. She blends the sound of alt-country and contemporary folk. She left a job as a sales executive at Universal Music to pursue her singing and songwriting full-time. Kirsten released her first CD, entitled Drive-In Movie, in 2005. Now her brand new CD, The Mad Mile, is being released, produced by the Jayhawks frontman, Gary Lewis. It also features a duet with Jim Cuddy. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show, speaking to us from Toronto, singer-songwriter Kirsten Jones. Hey, Kirsten.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Oh, awesome. It's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to this through MySpace. I've followed your music for quite a while, and good to see how well you're doing, and of course, the release of the new CD.
Thank you very much.
Now, you began singing way, way back. Well, we won't say way, way back, but but at an early age, at the age of 3. Now, I've heard this before from other artists, and I guess my question is, at the age of 3, what would you begin to sing?
Well, at 3, it was probably, you know, Zippity-Doo-Dah or something from Disney.
Right.
But, you know, it was really, as you get a little older, I can date myself here by saying Annie, the play, the Broadway play,
right,
was huge when I was a kid. And
yeah.
So I would put on neighborhood productions of Annie constantly and then
wow.
Knock on all the neighbors' doors and make them come and watch me do Tomorrow from Annie or something like that. So, yeah, that's kind of how
wow,
I,
so
I guess.
Started right at a young age. Now, when did the songwriting come into play?
You know, I didn't write my first song until I was in university. I was influenced by a lot of songwriters when I was in high school, but didn't really know that was something that I ever thought I could do. When I got into university, I started playing in a band and thought, I want to try to write some of this stuff, and I've been writing ever since.
And when you first got to write the first song that you did, say, or the first couple, Did it come pretty easy, or were there certain things you had to learn in order to sort of do a song you were proud of?
It came pretty easy because I think years of listening to music, most musicians and songwriters are just huge music fans to begin with, so a lot of it comes very naturally from what you've heard, but I was not a country fan at all. I didn't like it, never wrote it, so I started out
right.
writing kind of alternative rock or pop and that kind of thing, and certain artists just kind of bridged the gap for me, and I started to love country, and so I kind of had to learn about that genre a bit by listening and
yep.
started to write more of that folk and country type stuff.
So who are some of those artists that did influence your style, Kirsten?
Well, way back in the beginning, an artist named Maria McKee, she was in a band called Lone Justice, and they were kind of a major label band that I really liked, and they really sounded country, but they weren't certainly on the country charts or anything, but it was Maria McKee and Tracy Chapman and people like that that started to go, wow, those songs are amazing. Not
right.
just, oh, hey, that's really catchy. I started to notice real songwriting. And then as I got older, Patti Griffin has been my absolute main influence for the past 10 years or so. I think she's the best songwriter out there.
Oh, isn't that something? Wow. And that's definitely a cool style. So alt country, is that who you would just label your music, Kirsten?
I guess so, only for lack of another term, really.
Yeah.
Because when you say country, people think Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, and I'm not sure that my music quite sounds like that.
Right.
And then when people say folk, they think Joni Mitchell. I'm not sure my music really sounds like that. So
exactly.
Alt country is, you know, the best label. A lot of my idols are alt country, I'd say.
Very cool. Now, with the songwriting process, and now you've done some co-writing as well for the new CD, was it an adjustment for you to go from writing songs yourself to opening up and sharing song ideas?
Yeah, it really was. The only person I'd ever written with before was my guitar player, We'd written a couple of songs, and then I stepped right into writing with one of my songwriting idols, which is who's Gary Louris, who is a member of the Jayhawks, and he ended up producing my album. We co-wrote two songs together. He had just co-written four tracks on the last Dixie Chicks album, so I couldn't really believe he was sitting in my living room and we were writing songs together. it was great, and I loved it. I'll still continue to write songs on my own, but I like the co-writing process. I don't think I want to write necessarily in a room with five people, but I like sharing ideas with one or two, for sure.
For sure. Now, I want to, we're going to, of course, talk about the CD and then how you got involved with Gary Louris to be the producer of it and all kinds of great stuff. But I wanted to talk about sort of the inspiring story. You were at, you worked at Universal Music as a sales executive, and there's a couple of interesting stories. One is meeting Sheryl Crow. Maybe we'll start with that story.
Okay, well, I was account executive at Universal, and so often got to go backstage and meet people, and one of my favorite artists of all time is Sheryl Crow, and meeting her, I realized I didn't want to meet her as a account executive. I wanted to be a peer. I wanted to be a songwriter and a singer, and so we talked about that, and it was really great. She was super nice and super inspiring, and it took me a little while to make the leap, but that was when I started to make the decision that I had to do this for a living.
Wow. So this obviously is a burning desire that you obviously had sort of put on the back burner for a while, and meeting Sheryl Crow and other things that happened kind of made you go for it.
That's exactly right.
Very cool. Now, I want to share a song now from the CD, Kirsten, and then we're going to come back talk about lots more. But if you could tell us the story behind the song. I know that you wrote it. The song is called I Will Love You Now, with a great message in it and great writing. And maybe you can just share a bit of that, and then we'll play it for our listeners.
Well, sure. I mean, as you already said, I quit my day job at Universal one day and decided to be a songwriter. And I first thing I did was head to Nashville for 2 weeks to just kind of immerse myself in that. And first thing I did when I got there was sit down and I wrote the song, and it was really appropriate for the time in my life. And I never really say exactly whom or what I wrote it about, because people seem to apply it in a lot of different ways. I've sung it at funerals. I've sung it at weddings. I've sung it all kinds of different places. So, I just hope people interpret it in their own way.
Very cool. Okay, we'll share that now, Kirsten. This is Kirsten Jones from her brand new CD, The Mad Mile, and this is called I Will Love You Now, here on In the Country.
Then I will wait.
That is I Will Love You Now, performed and written by our guest today, Kirsten Jones, from her brand new CD, The Mad Mile. And you can visit her at kirstenjones.com. You can also go to her MySpace site, myspace.com/kirstenjonesmusic, and learn more about the CD that will be officially released in May. Now, I understand on the Canadian iTunes, Kirsten, people can purchase the CD as of now?
They can, yeah. I wanted to get up in Canada first. It's going to go international on iTunes on May 11th.
Perfect. Okay, so we'll encourage our listeners to do that. Now, before we went further with the CD, I wanted to ask you, Kirsten, if you came from a musical family. I know you were born originally in Virginia. Where is there music in your family roots?
You know, there is. Not like I grew up in a very musical family, but it was just me and my mom. I was raised by a single mom,
right.
And we just sang all the time. She was into Stevie Wonder and Carly Simon and all these great late 70s kind of acts, and so we sang constantly. I just remember kind of belting out tunes all the time on car trips and things like that. So we were always singing, and then I didn't meet my dad actually until I was older, until I was 15, and
right.
It turns out he was a guitar player and singer and songwriter, so there's the nature
wow.
versus nurture thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's something in the genes, I guess.
I guess so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, so the CD is The Mad Mile, and I found it really interesting, the story behind, first of all, the inspiration for the name. It's one of the songs on the CD as well as the title of the CD, but there's an interesting story to do with kayaking in New Zealand that ties into that.
Yeah, well, my best friend and I took a great 5-week trip to New Zealand, and we've been on our first kayaking trip, and we had no idea what we were doing. The only thing the guide told us to do was just to row into the waves to keep from tumbling over.
Right.
So we did that, and then a big storm came out of nowhere, and suddenly we're the only ones out there, and we're rowing into the waves, and we're getting further and further from the shore. So we were out there for about 3 hours, and then when we got in, and someone told us that stretch of water was called the Mad Mile. And I thought, well, that would have been helpful information before we
Yeah, exactly. Post a sign, maybe.
Anyways, that's where the song comes from.
Very cool. And was that also, that time, was that part of a decision to sort of pursue music full-time? Did that tie into it?
Oh, yeah. That was actually before I quit my day job. And I spent that vacation listening to the new Jayhawks album, which at the time was Rainy Day Music. And
right.
Never would have dreamed, you know, a few years later I'd be working with Gary Louris.
That's amazing. So we'll fast forward to the CD, and yes, indeed, from the Jayhawks, Gary Louris is the producer. Now, how did you go about getting Gary to come along and produce this one?
You know, I just sent him my stuff. I looked up his management online,
mm-hmm.
and I put a package in the mail. It took me about a year to work up my nerve.
Right.
But I did it, and sent a couple of lame follow-up emails. Hi, did you get my CD? Hey, have you listened to it? You know, never kind of didn't expect much, but really knew he was the one I wanted to do this. So I had to get him either on board or out of the way before I could move on to anyone else. And one
right.
day I got an email that said, Gary would love to talk to you. And I said, well, here's my number. Have him call me. So that's where
that
it
is kind of, that is truly inspiring for anyone out there, and obviously a thrill for yourself that the desire you had for that, and it came about.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in listening to your instincts, and you know, I joke about how it took me a year to get it in the mail, but maybe that was about timing. You know, sometimes it's just
yeah.
the timing that works, and you can't put yourself down for waiting for your instincts and
yep.
believing in what's supposed to happen.
Oh, definitely. Timing plays into all that. Now, you also wrote some songs with Gary, and we're going to share one of those shortly. But so let's talk about the making of the CD. I understand it was recorded in Toronto. But maybe you can talk just a bit about behind the scenes of that and some of the players on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm so excited about some of the people on the album. I mean, Gary's on there, of course, and Bob Egan from Blue Rodeo plays some pedal steel. And Oh Susanna is a guest singer on a song, one of my favorite Canadian artists. And there's a duet with Jim Cuddy,
cool.
which, again, really proud of. But one really, really interesting thing that happened out of that was a guy named Greg Leese out of L.A., who was a friend of Gary's, ended up playing pedal steel and electric guitar. And this guy is out of this world. He's played with everyone from Emmylou Harris to Tracy Chapman to Lucinda Williams, you name it. He's incredible. Sheryl Crow, et cetera. And
wow.
So he worked from L.A. I couldn't afford to fly him up here, and it was amazing that he did that. And you'll hear his pedal steel work on the song that I sent you, on the song that you're playing today.
Great. Do you have a favorite instrument that you like to hear, either, let's say, on your CD, one that kind of puts you in that musical zone?
Yeah, pedal steel.
Yeah.
It is that. I had an embarrassment of riches in that department with Greg Lease and Bob Egan, and pedal steel and lap steel are definitely my favorites.
Yeah, very cool. It's kind of a warm feel to it, and
they
love that instrument as well.
To a song, you know.
Yeah, definitely puts some mood into it. Now, how many songs would you say, Kirsten, that you wrote or co-wrote in order to get it down to the final 10 or 12 that are on the CD? Did you write like 30 or 40? Or?
I didn't. I'm not one of those people. I'm edit as I go along. Nobody hears those horrendously horrible songs that I've written. They just don't make it to that mix. So I really knew. I sent songs to Gary. I sent him probably, I'd say, about 15. And he said, I'm going to be really hard on you, and I really want to only use the best or whatever, and then he ended up liking them.
Wow.
So I was a little worried. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start really getting, you know, quick about writing, but he ended up really liking the ones, and like I said, they've been honed over a period of a few years. So I felt like I was ready to go with the songs, and I was really glad he agreed.
So when you say honed over the period of a few years, are there some songs that you might write, say, in one session, one afternoon, and you know it's done and ready? And did some of these you would come back to every so often and change something and keep making it better each time?
A little of both. I Will Love You Now, I wrote right away, every word. And it's really, in some ways, I shouldn't say this, but the only song I feel like I ever finished. I feel like done. It's great. I love it the way it is. And but every other song, I'd say I came back a little bit, sometimes to write a bridge or to change a lyric or something like that. But I do tend to write in one, at least three quarters of the song in one sitting, usually.
Right. Now, what about on the CD, you've got a song, Bittersweet Grand Canyon, and that's obviously a vulnerable song. And I was just wondering how you felt about sharing those kind of songs, say, with others. And, of course, it's on the CD, so you're sharing with everyone. Is that uncomfortable or hard at all, or is it kind of therapeutic?
No, it's very comfortable for me. I can't help it. I'm very hard-on-your-sleeve kind of person. I talk about my personal life on stage because my songs are often about that, not always, but often. And I find it the most rewarding part of performing is when people come up to you after and say, that happened to me, or that song really touched me because it reminded me of when I went through such and such. That's what I want to do as a musician, is connect with people. That's what I always loved when I was listening to my favorite artists.
So then would you consider music as, in addition to, being a listening pleasure, it is also therapeutic for you as the singer and the listeners?
I'd say so. Just because I'm a total extrovert, so it's therapeutic for me to be out and just meeting tons of people and meeting new great people all the time is a really big part of my life, an important part.
Very cool. Now let's turn back to the CD, Kirsten, and we're going to share the song now that you co-wrote with Gary Loris, the producer, also the front man for the Jayhawks, and the song is I Don't Want to Live Like This. So the two of you co-wrote this, you mentioned to me before, and you want to tell us the story and inspiration behind it?
I have no idea what inspired that song. Gary, come at me with an idea, and I can tell you one thing. A boss I used to have had this great saying, and that was, you're either in or you're in the way. And I was like, I need to write a song that has that lyric in it because it's so great. And we just wrote the song about that. I'm not sure that either of us would necessarily share the person that we had in mind.
Right.
But it's generally about, either you're here or you're not. See you later if you're not in this relationship kind of song. So that's where it came from.
Perfect. We'll share now with our listeners. This is Kirsten Jones from her The Mad Mile CD. This is I Don't Want to Live Like This on In the Country.
Right in your big black glass.
That is Kirsten Jones from The Mad Mile, her brand new CD, which you can purchase on Canadian iTunes, and it'll be available in retail stores come the spring. The song is I Don't Want to Live Like This, which she co-wrote with her producer, Gary Loris, and we're talking all about her brand new CD today. By the way, you can also check her out at kirstenjones.com, as well as her MySpace site, myspace.com/KirstenJonesMusic. So if you were to have, say, 30 seconds or 40 seconds, Kirsten, to describe the CD and why the listeners out there should pick it up, what would you sort of have to say about it?
Oh, boy. No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all.
Yeah.
Off the top of your head.
I think if you're a country fan, you're going to hear something just a little different. You're going to hear something that maybe sounds fresh, and it's you know, to hear some of the musicians that are on this album is worth picking it up alone. But I'm hoping, that, again, that people who like to hear personal songs and really identify with songwriting will particularly like this album.
Definitely. It's a very musical and has great messages on it, as you mentioned. And one of the highlights of it, of course, along with the great players on it, is the vocals of Jim Cuddy doing a duet with you. You want to tell us what that experience was like?
Yeah, he was great. He was such a good guy. He's such a busy guy, as you can imagine, and I was really thrilled that he fit this in. And I mean, he's just such a pro. As soon as you walk in and you hear that voice, you're like, oh, I mean, you could recognize it anywhere.
Right.
And he just did a few takes, and it was just so fantastic. He just, you know, what can you say? It's Jim Cuddy.
Oh, there's such a magic to his voice, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm so glad to have a little of that magic on my album.
Now, do you have a favorite song that you've written, whether it's on this album, hopefully, or not? Is there sort of one that is a personal favorite of yours?
I do. It's called You Ain't Coming By, and it's the opening track on the album. And another very personal one. I'll let the listeners listen to it and pick it up. But it's about my relationship with my dad. It's actually a day in my life when I was 6 years old.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like the majority of these songs, Kirsten, come from a very personal place.
Often that's true. I think that's just, again, the kind of songwriting I'm attracted to and what seems to come out of me.
Right. Now, when your fans and those who haven't gone out yet to see you perform live, what do they see at a show? It obviously sounds high energy and a lot of humor. And what else can they expect?
It depends. I often play as a duo or a trio. And in that case, you can expect a pretty rootsy vibe, pretty laid-back, rootsy, lots of talking and with the audience and interchanges. And I'd say about half fast songs and half slow songs. So you're going to get a little of both, and hopefully a lot of humor and a lot of energy.
Terrific. And I wanted to ask you as well, Kirsten, you've written these songs for your album. Are there any songs you've either got now or that you may write in the future? And is there an artist for those songs that you have in mind that would be a personal thrill to have them record? Sorry for the wordy question.
Oh, yeah. When I wrote I Will Love You Now, I thought I really want Alison Krauss to record this in a probably much higher key.
For sure.
I love that. And with a song like You Ain't Coming By, the one I was just talking about, I would love for the Dixie Chicks to do that.
Yeah.
Or the song that you just played. I'd love for the Dixie Chicks to record any of my stuff. I mean, basically, I think that they have very similar music taste to me. They've recorded songs by two of my favorites, Maria McKee and Patty Griffin. So, yeah, I'd love to be in that kind of company.
That would be
great.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Now, what about advice, Kirsten, for some of our listeners? We have singer-songwriters who listen, and they could be at different stages of their career. But let's say they're at the start and thinking about doing this, and you obviously took some chances in that. Well, what sort of advice would you pass on to them?
Well, I would say that a lot of people try to talk you out of doing things that are kind of out of the norm, the 9-to-5 job, the kind of life. I don't think you should let other people's fears interfere with your plan for your life, because you know better than anyone what you want to do. And music is a hard road, and everyone will say that. But I'm the last person to say that you shouldn't follow it. I think you have to do it. If you feel that drive, you've got to do it, and you've got to not listen to everybody else. And very much like me sending that CD to Gary Loris, you've got to just put it out there. And if someone connects with it, then they're meant to. That's the best advice I can give.
Yeah, it's amazing the outcome of that. You sent that, and that all came together. So there's proof there that sometimes it's just a matter of taking the chance and putting the effort in.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Now, you've traveled around a lot, Kirsten. We've just got a few moments left. Is there any place left in the world that you haven't traveled to that you maybe are thinking about or would like to?
Oh, plenty of places. I haven't been to Europe at all. So I'm really looking forward to hitting Spain and Italy one day. And Scandinavia has a real interest to me because some of my ancestors are from there. So, and I hear they like roots music. So hopefully I'll be on tour there sometime.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Kirsten Jones, and I'll let you know you can head over to kirstenjones.com or myspace.com/kirstenjonesmusic. Her brand new CD, The Mad Mile, is now available on Canadian iTunes. Will be in retail in the spring, and so lots of exciting things coming up. Kirsten, thanks so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure talking with you and sharing your music.
Thanks, Dave. It's been a pleasure talking to you, too. I'll do it again anytime.
Sounds great. We'll look forward to that. My guest today has been singer-songwriter Kirsten Jones. Be sure to purchase her brand new CD. There's great music on that. I'm Dave Woods. You've been listening to In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Time in the country, we've been waiting here for you, here in the country.